The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 182. Excited to have Nathan Parnham with us. Nathan is a strength coach at Newington College in Sydney, Australia. A guy that I've gotten to know through the years through social media, and finally got the opportunity to meet face-to-face. Went out to his facility there at Newington College, which is a high school, unique high school in which most everyone, or the entire student population, has to participate in sport. And he has to work with the coaches and the athletes and everybody to come up with a good structure, a good schedule, work with coaches that want to have strength and conditioning a major part of their program and some that don't want it at all. And so there's lots of unique challenges to him working with 12 to 18 year olds and in that environment that I think a lot of strength coaches, especially those that are at the high school level, will take a lot from this episode. And so I would encourage you to really take some notes, listen to this, and just be able to learn from someone that's on the other side of the world, doing a great job, and in a unique environment. And that's what I love about this show is that we're able to connect and with coaches from all over, and really make this world small. In that way. Before that, though, I want to make sure everybody checks out the Play Summits website, playsummits.com. We are very close to being able to release all the locations, all the sites, and the speakers here pretty soon. The first one will be February 11th, actually in Sydney, Australia. So if you're over in Australia, you're listening to this, make sure that you go and you sign up for that. If you're an ASCA member, you get a special rate as well. But real excited about the Play Summits this year. We expanded from having just three last year and only in the U.S. to where we're doing three additional and being international as well. And so being able to partner up with Under Armour and doing it at Under Armour facility and doing it at Noblesville High School with Brian Clark, in conjunction with the Combine and, doing it at Woodstock in our corporate office with Play, or going to Toronto or Ireland or Australia with our international. We're really super excited about those events, including some mastermind events, which I'll give you more information about in the future. So make sure you go to Play Summits. Make sure you're following us on social media so you can stay up with everything and all the announcements. And make sure that you're making plans now to attend one of these conferences in your area as we go through. So I want you to sit back. I want you to enjoy this episode with Nate. And we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have a friend of mine, Nathan Parnham, with us. Nathan's the head strength coach of Newington College here in Sydney, Australia. We're sitting out overlooking a beautiful oval out here. All this stuff, cricket fields, rugby fields, the soccer fields are all new to me, but I'm learning, and so wanted to have him on the show. He's a guy that we've connected on social media. Great reputation, great coach, and doing some really impressive things here at Newington. And so, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming out here. Absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Hey, let's talk about that background a little bit first. How did you get into the profession, and then kind of what's led you to here at Newington?
Okay, so originally I kind of started out like every S&C coach, playing a fair bit of sport and all the rest of it. I played a lot of tennis when I was younger and just venting a lot of energy, really. And eventually just didn't know what I really wanted to do when I came to the end of my schooling career, took a year off, and then just fell in love with a passion. My older brother started training in Muay Thai and ended up fighting professionally. And I just fell in love with the training scenario of pushing the human body and how hard it can be pushed. And from there, I just fueled that passion with studying, decided that I wanted to do my undergrad course. And along the time while I was at university, I was fortunate enough to, you know, do an internship and things like that. And from there, it just took off. And yeah, like I said, year by year, it's, you know, I look past and it's, you know, 13, 14 years gone by now. And yeah, love every day of it.
Talk a little bit. This is a unique situation here at Newington. I mean, you go from, you're working with athletes from age 12 to 18. You're working with athletes that, you know, sports their whole life, and athletes that, you know, they can care less if they're playing a sport. What drove you to this unique challenge?
Yeah, so I think one of the things is just working in those development programs is, it excites me. And I was at a school formerly, and to be honest, I kind of fell into it by default, as far as I was, like a lot of guys, I was chasing that professional dream. And and from there, it one, you know, opportunity created another. And then I found myself at this previous school, Westfield Sports High, and which is a fantastic opportunity because it allowed me to really apply my trade and set up the foundations in a youth program that I believed in, the framework of it. And from there, it led into this. And the beauty of it here is that we do try and target, because it is a development program. I think, you know, it's a big buzz at the moment. A lot of people are talking about specificity and youth sports and all these sort of things. And that's something that I'm quite passionate about as well, in that, you know, you don't have to be a superstar sporting athlete, you know, when you're an adolescent, a child or whatnot. It's generally the passion that gets you through. So
sure.
That's how I came into this. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on, that we create a, you know, a unique character so that when they leave school, they make those healthier choices as well. And on top of that, we do have the talented sporting guys as well, that we can push that a little bit harder in the sporting realm as they get older and they've earned the right to do it.
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier off camera about how it's a compulsory school where, you know, the students have to participate in a sport. And so when they come into your weight room, they're coming in with various levels of motivation. You've created a schedule that promotes involvement. But you also have sports that, you know, coaches that buy completely into strength and conditioning, coaches that maybe not so much, or just the technical, you know, outweighs in their mind the strength piece. How do you address the lack of motivation in some of the athletes? How do you address some of the lack of motivation in the coaches?
Yeah, that's a good point, because of the fact that there's certain sports that generally, you know, have that heavily ingrained culturally that S&C is a part of their sport. And we try and work towards that. So there's some sports we're fortunate enough to get more time with. There's other sports that we're not heavily involved with. But to answer your question, we try and just build a positive environment where all the students are created equal. And, you know, whether or not you're a first 15 rugby player through to, you know, someone who plays cricket or whatnot, we don't favour one sport over the other. It's a holistic approach, and it's a holistic approach from year 7 through to year 12. So 12-year-old students through to 18-year-old students. And we try and create that pathway where they've really earned the right to progress.
Sure.
One thing that, you know, I was a little bit of a rat bag at school, and I put my hand up for that, so my teachers would probably vouch for that. But one thing that we really pride ourselves on, you know, in our strength and conditioning facility is that a lot of the time we find ourselves in situations where students may not necessarily fit into the academic sort of side of their schooling career. And, you know, we can really embrace that and try and target that and, you know, vent their sort of frustrations and stuff like that to us. And, you know, they end up getting to year 12 and they're leaving the school, and it's a really positive experience. So, you know, you don't have to be an academic, you don't have to be an elite sports person. It's really about just really trying to figure out how to push those buttons for each of the students in order to get the best out of them, where they sit on that spectrum.
Sure. You brought up a great point there with, you know, you got a 12-year-old, maybe that's a rugby player, you know, and then you have an 18-year-old man that's a rugby player. You know, how do you go about separating those athletes out in a singular, because you're going to get those athletes all at once, essentially. How do you go about dividing your weight room up so you can address the needs of that youth athlete versus that mature athlete?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the challenge of being in an environment like ours. I think if you look at a lot of research and things like that, everyone has that real idealistic model. And whilst I agree with it a lot, you know, we find ourselves in situations where we have a 12-year-old, like you said, 12-year-old student with an 18-year-old student. The flip side to that is that, you know, when if there's dangers involved, so the, you know, the first 15 rugby guys or whatnot, they, you know, they get their isolated time so that there's not a 12-year-old boy walking under a bar while there's a student trying to squat 120 kilos or whatnot. So that's in that capacity. However, the biggest challenge that we have is, and this is like a lot of youth development, you know, S&C coaches, is that you're right, there are instances where there's a 12-year-old in there with an 18-year-old. And how we go about that is we try and instill that leadership qualities where, you know, we might have an S&C coach who's taking other students through exercises and programming, but we really try and empower our older students to embrace the younger guys being there and showing them certain exercises. And I think culturally in the facility, that just really gets ingrained from the top down.
Sure.
And then our year seven guys, you know, they grow on to doing the same thing. So that's how that kind of works.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, that, you know, oftentimes high school coaches will come and ask me kind of what would I do differently or how would I go about it. And, you know, I would typically train with breaking guys up into groups of four, putting an intern strength coach at every rack and having that coach run that rack. And so when they come in, they see, you know, 12 coaches, 15 coaches, whatever, coach up athletes. And they say it's easy to do that when you have that many eyes. But my point is exactly what you do is would be I would almost separate out my upperclassmen, train them separately in the morning, and then bring them back and have them be my coaches, because they're going to learn so much more by teaching than by doing it, especially at that age.
Yeah.
And I like how you're doing that with your athletes. I think another challenge you probably are faced with is you got that rugby player that might also be a rower, or they might also be basketball or whatever other sport, and they're a multi-sport athlete. So the challenge of kind of making a specific program doesn't really exist maybe.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, a lot of the time that just comes down to your coaching eye. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, but it's not. It's how the years of experience you've seen of what worked and what's going to break a student, or, you know, how much you can push them. And it's very, I know we discussed this, that it's a very anti-specialization model. But the challenge that you have is if you have a sport, say, for example, like rowing, where, you know, they come to the end of the winter season and they might be rugby players or whatnot, and then they go into straight off the bat into a rowing season, and they're not used to that sort of, you know, flexion extension of their spine. They haven't built up the sufficient endurance in a particular parameter, then something's going to go.
Sure.
And, you know, we learned that as far as from the director standpoint. So part of my role is that I kind of play the mediator at times where, you know, some directors, everyone's trying to get the best out of their program. And, you know, you can't fault people for that. And so all I do is come in and basically try and get the best of it, where, you know, we look at it almost like a harm minimization approach, where they, you know, if it is a rowing thing, we do try and get them in the off season doing things now rather than being it so black and white.
Right.
And then that way they're in better stead for the rowing. And the same thing happens with cricket. There's a lot of lower back injuries in cricket because guys hadn't been doing much bowling. Next thing, the wickets, you know, the nets were open and then they were firing away and they've got stress fractures in their lower back. So it's how we manage that. And I'm just fortunate enough here that, you know, we've got directors who understand that, and we sit down and just try and figure out how we can transition these guys into summer and winter sports.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I think that's obviously a big challenge when you're dealing with multi disciplines, multi skills, and, you know, you probably take kind of a total body type of approach.
Yeah.
What does a typical training session look like for you?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the older they are, then the more opportunity they have to come into the gym. So the students, generally, every student has to be on a program. And that'll either involve two or three sessions a week. It may even be one. So if they've got a lot of commitments like drama and chess and whatever, there's a lot of super talented sporting athletes who are very talented in other facets of their life. So we have to figure out a program of best fit. So I learned that early, in that you can't have a split program necessarily. So to give you an example, you know, a normal program would just involve your standard warm-up stuff. So get the heart rate up and get a little bit of activation mobility drills. And then you're right, it is a good point that you said. So, you know, if a student is doing two sessions in a week, then they are doing two full body sessions in a week, because if I split it and they're just doing pushing exercises, then they only do pushing exercises once a week, then you're just going to end up overcompensated. So that's the biggest challenge that we have. And so even if they're doing 3 days a week, it's still a full body session. We might just split it up into different, you know, planes or whatnot for their core stuff as well at the end of it. And now we're even trying to steer away from, you know, the whole lifting weights essentially, and just try and include in our programming the whole coordination side of it, and then finishing with some energy system development stuff, because the students, you know, boys being boys, and the testosterone just fall into that habit that they do want to lift a lot of weight. And we just try and drum at home, and there's so many other facets involved. Like, if you can't stand on one leg, I don't care how much you can squat. So we try and put them in situations where they fail, and they realize that, okay, I might be able to squat this amount, but if I can't actually hop three times consecutively without falling over, we got a big problem.
Right. Well, I think that's an important lesson, is finding those time, those opportunities for them to fail in a safe manner, so they can deduct that for themselves. And the more that you can do that as coaches, I think it's a valuable lesson that they take away. You know, when you came here to Newington, you kind of took over a program that, in a lot of ways, maybe didn't even really exist.
Yeah.
So you're developing a culture from scratch. You know, one of the things that we were sitting downstairs and, you know, I thought was really cool was, you know, you have at periods in the day where, you know, you have a period where the moms can come in and train. And we always talk about the other 22 hours. And if you're not involved with those other 22 hours, then you're kind of fighting a losing battle.
Yeah.
It's probably no better way than to get their parents on board, believing in what they're doing and understanding. I think it's a unique program. Can you talk a little bit to that and kind of how you've reached out maybe some other ways to get by?
Yeah, it is a unique situation, because I think a lot of the time, particularly in development programs, it's selling that opportunity to the parents, because the parents are the ones who support it and encourage their boys or, you know, daughters or whatnot to participate in sport. And there's a lot of that, you know, you hear it all the time of, oh, I don't want you lifting weights until you're 16 years old or the rest of it. And what we try and do is, you're right, there is a mothers group that comes in, and I think the positive to that is that we're able to educate the mothers so that they realize that we're not just gym buffs or meatheads in the gym trying to throw tin around. We are knowledgeable people who, you know, are trying to hone our craft. And I think it's also a good takeaway for a lot of aspiring S&C coaches too, to realize that, you know, a lot of people are trying to aim for the top and they want to work for this team or work for this athlete, but the beauty of it is that you have to embrace all parts of the role. And if that involves elements of, you know, personal training and group training and things like that, Newington College is really, really big on the community side of it.
Sure.
So if we can empower the, you know, the parents to come and participate in these things as well, then it just, there's that flow-on effect where they encourage their son to come to the gym. And it also tests us as well, you know. We love working with the students and things, but to get a group of mothers in there at the same time who like training, then you can't train a group of ladies the way you can, the way that you train boys and stuff like that too. So that's just honing your craft. And I think that, you know, people need to move away from the model of, oh, he's a personal trainer, or, you know, he's not a real strength and conditioning coach. I think there's that element where strength and conditioning, sure, everyone aspires with the sporting population, but there's so many great strength and conditioning coaches out there who are doing PT in a normal gym in their day-to-day environment, and they're rushing off to a team or whatnot. And I don't think that there's any shame in it at all.
Agreed. I think, you know, building culture is the number one most important thing that you can do as a strength and conditioning coach. It doesn't really matter, sets, reps, whatever. You're getting that buy-in, and obviously doing it with the parents. When we're in there and you're in your weight room earlier, there's two faculty members in there working out. I would assume they're faculty,
but yeah, that's right.
Yep. For coaches. You know, sometimes we get territorial as strength coaches where we don't want people to come in and maybe see that we're sitting in the office writing programs, or that there's a dead period in the weight room, and finding those opportunities where that exists, and bringing your athletic director in, or your headmaster or whoever. Those are the things that when you go and you ask for money for your weight room, or you go and you ask for support in sticky situations, that's when you've laid the groundwork to have them have your back.
Yep.
You know, and that's obvious downstairs and seeing you work. and what's going on here. Well, man, we end the show with some resources. I know you got to get going. The first thing is what's the best piece of coaching advice that you've ever received?
To be honest, I know it sounds really, really cliche, but everyone says it, and you know, your athletes don't know how much, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, and I know you're a big fan of it as well.
Sure.
And I just think too many times as S&C coaches, we're focused on, we need to get this done within a session, and a lot of the times, let's be honest, like some athletes have got personal issues going on that if you're one of those people who doesn't embrace that, then you're not going to know that. You blow up at the guy and you don't get the performance out of it. So, I learned, that like what we're talking about, culture and things like that, to develop a strong culture in a team, you have to have passionate people who work there and are coaching there and are genuinely interested in the individual. So that's what I would say for that.
Yeah, passion, absolutely. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Yeah, so I think definitely a book that I've read not too long ago, Growth Mindset.
Yeah.
By Carol Dweck. I think for me personally, I mentioned it before that I was a bit of a rat bag when I was in school, and I did everything I could to try and leave school and get out of school as quickly as I could, to be honest. And just being in that environment, I often wondered why I wasn't inspired to grasp anything that happened at school, and everything that's happened to me post school, as soon as I found a passion and something that I believed in, it just made my mindset flick, and why am I achieving what I'm achieving, you know, in this current position? And a lot of it is to do with just that outlook and the mindset of how you view things. And I know it's easy to say that now that I'm out of school and through mature eyes, but
sure.
That book really resonated with me. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I buy it for all our interns as well. And just to really, you know, drum that home. So,
yeah.
And another book, I will say a second one, and I don't want to give you raps because you're here, but I genuinely believe that what you're going through with
that. The
multifaceted approaches, S&C coaches, the CEO Strength Coach is a phenomenal book because of the fact
that... Beat him to say that.
It actually raises people's awareness to other things outside of S&C, because there's so many athletic development coaches who are talented and whatnot who aren't actually working in the field anymore because something's gone wrong.
Right.
So whether it be financially, whether it be their relationships and all the rest of it. And I don't think it gets talked about enough. So big thanks to you, man, because I really resonated with it.
You know, I'm going to flip it a little bit here, because we were talking about something walking up here that really stood out to me as well, is you had mentioned that, you know, that work-life balance, that was a struggle for you at periods in your career. And you went as far as to find a hobby in photography. You know, how important is it to find something that balances you out?
I think it's essential, to be honest. I'll be completely honest, you know, as S&C coaches, a lot of us, or athletic development coaches, a lot of us are very driven, to the point where it comes at a big cost. If you realize one day that you're not that sporting, you know, individual that's going to succeed in sport, that passion gets driven elsewhere and it turns into being your career. And for me, it came at a pretty big cost. And, I'll be honest with relationships and things like that.
Sure.
Originally, I was very relentless in my work ethic and just had my blinkers on the whole time. And I think the irony in, losing relationships and stuff over it is it's a learning experience.
Great.
And from that, I did, like you said, I have taken up photography. I've taken up other things because you need to fuel that passion and make sure that passion is continually energized. And you never know by, removing yourself out of that realm and looking at hobbies and things like that. All it does is just drive that passion for you to get back into the gym and achieve everything that you can. And I know that works for me. So, I think, everyone's a good example. And, you've got to learn from it, right?
I couldn't say that any better myself. And it's so important. And I hope everybody listening takes that as the take-home message. Find your passion, spend your time in your passion. But then, just like with any strong passion, even if it's in a relationship and you're in a passionate relationship, that can go bad if you don't have balance.
That's it.
I think that it's so important. But man, I want to stress another thing as we end the show here. The importance, I was one of those guys that hated social media, but Nathan and I, we connected on social media. We've had a handful of conversations, but here we are on the other side of the world for me.
That's cool.
You know, in your home gym, having a conversation, talking shop, and getting better as coaches. And I mean, it just shows you how powerful that is, man. So I appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
No, I appreciate you coming here. And to be honest, I'm just super stoked that you know, a lot of people slag social media and things like that. And I think, you know, like as you said, people see how genuine you are. If you're genuinely passionate about what you do, it's just a great opportunity to meet up and link up. And to be honest, I never thought that you'd be here checking out Newington College.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man.
Cool.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.